Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 375 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by director Jason Tucker and actor Jeff Davin as we talk a little Street Theater Company's Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. And we're going to get into that discussion just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Well, IDSers, I'm joined by director Jason Tucker and actor Jeff Davin, and we're going to talk today a little Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which is happening down at the Street Theater Company down in Nashville, Tennessee. So welcome, guys. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, good. So, Jason, how did you rope into directing here at the Street Theater? Are you local here now? I noticed you.
I'm local here now. Yeah, my wife and I moved here from Los Angeles about 2 years ago, by way of New York City, ultimately from Florida. So we've had a weird kind of traveling around decade. we landed here and I had started to see Street Theater's marketing stuff for other shows over the past year or two all the time. They have a really good marketing arm. It looked really kind of urban and new and modern, you know, mm-hmm. Which is cool in a city like Nashville. I just kept trying to get a job as a director. And when I talked to Kathy Street, who runs Street Theater, I admit I didn't know much about Bloody Bloody. I had seen pieces of it, you know, maybe had a friend that had done a version at some point, but I really didn't know much about it. So I started doing my research fast and realized it's its own thing. It's its own little crazy little thing. So I immediately jumped on it when given the offer.
So I'm not that familiar with the show either. How much is it artistic interpretation versus kind of historical fact?
I would say 98% artistic interpretation, okay, with a little bit of historical fact. What do you think, Jens?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It takes about how many years of his life and career and squashes it down to an hour and a half. With you know, broad comedy and rock.
Yeah, with broad comedy and with punk rock and with lots of blood. And the single biggest thing, I think, Andrew Jackson is famous for many things, but one of the things that he's perhaps infamous is a better word for is basically being responsible for the Trail of Tears when you know, thousands and thousands of Native Americans were moved out of their homes, and as they were marching west, you know, it was basically genocide.
Right.
Because you know, thousands and thousands died, and kind of everyone knew what would happen. Anyway, Andrew Jackson is kind of responsible for that. So the show tries to imagine some things that happened early in Andrew Jackson's life as a possible, not reason for his actions later, but as an inciting incident. And then it just runs away with it. It was written during, it was written while George Bush was in office. Mm-hmm. So it has also sitting on top of it, it has this layer of of hiring to be your president, hiring the guy you want to have a beer with, and whether or not that's necessarily the wisest decision right. for a nation to make.
Right. And so just to introduce again, we got Jeff Davenant in, and he is playing Andrew Jackson. So what has it been like for you as an actor to take on a historical figure through a fantastical, whimsy sort of lens? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's an incredibly fun character to play. And I didn't know the show really that, I mean, I knew of it. I didn't know the material until I had auditioned for it and got cast in it. And it made me want to go back and read more about Andrew Jackson, certainly, because he's such a I don't know, what's the word? He's an impulse. he's just every impulse he goes with, and he I don't know if he really was like that, but it's just interesting to play a character who's can live so off the cuff like that, and I don't or can exist so off the cuff, and I'm having a ball playing it. I mean, it's incredibly fun. And Jason's
having a ball, by the way.
Jason's been so great for this project in particular, just because he has given us such a solid structure, yet allows us so much freedom to play and to explore. And it's been a great rehearsal process and learning this character and figuring it out.
From what I've gathered, I mean, again, I don't know the show wholly, but it's more of a rock opera than, say, your classical sort of book and then song. Yeah,
right? Well, actually, no. It has less in common with a rock opera like Jesus Christ Superstar or Tommy, and it has more in common with a play, really. If you were to count up the minutes that we're speaking, they add up to far more than the music than the minutes in which we're singing, first of all. But at the same time, music is like, I guess the show treats the music not as a musical, but just as another tool in our arsenal to tell the story we want to tell. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the music you hear will be produced by the band on stage and with everyone. Sometimes the band even sings. And then sometimes we literally throw out pop music, you know, over the CD player kind of thing. So it is so difficult to describe this show. The thing that I would say that's most important is that it is it's kind of anarchical and chaotic, but by the time you're done watching it, it's not as if you've just been watching a bunch of 10-year-olds play improv games for the first time. It has a point of view. It has a it definitely has something it wants to say. We have something we want to say, and I feel like we really accomplished that by the end. So there's all sorts of tonal shifts. I don't know. It's cool. It's exciting and cool and fun and a little crazy and a little dangerous, you know, and it's a really cool show.
So what's I'll let you both field this question separately here. What's been the biggest challenge for you? And I'll start with
Jeff,
Jason.
Why don't you start?
Okay, well, Jeff starts.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. No worries.
I'll go. The most difficult thing for me as a director has been, because I really feel like the original production, which began as a fringe show from the Fringe Festival in New York City and moved off Broadway and then Broadway, and you can really see as you get into the script that the creators kind of, they put it together. I was talking to my musical director. It's kind of like Frankenstein's monster. It's kind of sewn together rather than a through line where they tried to make the story move effortlessly from moment to moment. It feels much more like a set of vignettes. Uh-huh. And that can be very confusing as you're approaching it because of tone. Tone is the single most important part of this. And what I mean by that is this a broad comedy with crazy people doing crazy stuff? Or is this a political satire? Or is this taken absolutely seriously? And the honest truth is that it's all three of those things.
Right.
And so we need to find a way always to make sure that we're never lying to the audience with this is going to be hilarious or this is going to be terrifying. Like, we want the audience to be ready for both, and we want it to feel natural. And that's a very difficult thing to accomplish, much more difficult than I was prepared for going in.
Okay, cool. Yep. And for you, Jeff?
Yeah, I would actually play off of that a little bit. And it is a broad comedy, but you never want to... This is one of those shows that you don't want to play the comedy because it's already in there. And if you point at it, then it's not funny anymore.
Right.
So you're learning, how to walk that line of, some of this stuff is over the top, but you also want to keep it real. You want to keep it as honest as possible. And then also just trying to get into the head of this character has been a challenge, more of a challenge than I expected it to be. I'm so not this person. it's fun to try to go there.
So then to piggyback on that sentiment, how do you think you've grown in your art through this process for both of you?
Why don't you go, Jeff?
I'll be quick. I'm going to say, every time I take on a roll, I think you learn a little bit more about yourself. There's a lot of aspects of this character that I hugely respect. And you always try to hold a mirror up when you're playing a role. So I think that a part like this that requires you to be so energetic and so just out there. I mean, you really are putting yourself out there. It's vulnerable and it's liberating, and those things are always good places to live.
Cool, and Jason.
I would say the thing that I've learned the most on this one is as a director, as a modern director. I really try to have, a working knowledge of every part of theater, the tech and the costumes and the sets and everything. And I really try to be the director I need to be for every actor. And I really pride myself on that, and so I'm very kind of controlling. Uh-huh. And it's interesting with this show because basically it's one character, Andrew Jackson, surrounded by an ensemble that's playing a zillion characters. And so because Andrew Jackson, the role, the character, is responsible for so much of the tone, I quickly had to recognize that I needed to get out of the way a little bit, which is not typically what I do. And the only way I could is by recognizing quickly that I could trust Jeff as an actor to kind of be a leader. And I don't know if he knows he is or not, but my musical director, Raleigh Maines, and I were just saying this the other night, that he quickly set a tone that then the whole cast kind of grabbed. Mm-hmm. And so I recognized within a rehearsal that I could kind of step back, make sure I was keeping an eye on the structure of the show, make sure I was keeping an eye on the tone of the show, and then kind of let, in a way, and I don't know if he knows this, and I don't know if this is a burden for him, but let him kind of lead the way people were going to approach scenes, the way they were going to play, the way they were going to experiment. And it's worked, and it's a new thing for me, and it's really exciting to watch.
Oh, cool.
Because I'm watching them love it. Also, the cast is having, to my eyes, the cast is having a blast. They're having a really good time, putting this together, So, and I think that's because I was able to get the heck out of the way and let a show develop without being too much at the rudder at all times.
Right.
So that's
but you also, it was also the thing where you can get out of the way because you really did set the foundation initially for us. You gave us that the boundaries in which that we could work. but then let us work within those boundaries. So that, and that is a hard thing to do, and that's a rare. That's not common. So it's been a really great process in that.
Well, so for each of you again, what is a high point that you look forward to each night? What's the moment in the show? One of the moments that's one of your favorites in the show. Jeff as the actor, and then Jason as the director.
I couldn't actually. I'm not even going to choose one. It's just literally it starts and then it ends. That's how this show feels. I mean, there's no intermission. It's an hour and a half, and it snowballs, and it's just. I mean, every point that we get to, I'm like, oh, I love this part. Oh, no, I love this part. Oh, no, I love this part. So, yeah.
You know, I think for me, because we're just now running the show. Up until this point, we've been segmenting it together, and so now we're running and fixing and running and fixing. And of course, next week we move into our tech so we can get the thing open. And I think as I'm preparing for runs and starting to watch them happen, I think the thing that I love the most is something that I love as a reader. It's something I love as a TV watcher, as a movie watcher, and as a theater goer. There's this thing that happens, and I kind of know where it is in this show, where you think you've been watching one show or one story, and then suddenly something happens and you realize, oh, this isn't where I laugh. Oh my gosh. Or maybe you even find yourself laughing and recognizing something in yourself that kind of scares you a little bit.
Yeah.
I think this show does that. There's a couple moments where Andrew Jackson turns so quickly. I think the audience is going to find themselves uncomfortable with the way that they reacted. And I just love that. I love that this show is going to, it's dangerous. It's going to put you in a place where you don't expect to be. And then you're going to be forced to acknowledge something in yourself that you may not want. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. I can think of a couple moments that support that. I wouldn't want to reveal them here,
Cool. So you mentioned you're heading into tech as we record this. This episode goes live on next Monday, the 10th. So, what are the show dates?
Let's see. We open Friday, March 14th, and we run for 2 weekends. You can go to streettheater.org, I believe, O-R-G. You know what? You'll need to check that up and make sure about that.
No, it's O-R-G,
Okay. To get the exact dates, I think we do Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday matinee, or actually Twilight. The Sundays are like at 5. And then the next weekend, we add a Saturday matinee as well. So it's about, I think it's 7 performances total, which is really small. But totally worth it. And I guarantee you will not be bored. I guarantee you that. Yeah.
All right. So let me clear my throat here. Yes. Also, everybody, IDSers, the information we talk about, tickets and stuff, will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Jeff Davin, actor, Jason Tucker, director, thank you guys so much. And happy opening and happy Hell Week, I guess, is what you got coming up.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, IDS.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank director Jason Tucker and actor Jeff Davin for stopping by today and chatting Street Theater Company's Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson up with me today. Next week, I'm going to talk to a good friend of mine, Jason Michaels. We're going to talk a little magic, a little illusion, a little con, and a little thing called Ted. So that's up for next week. So if you want to be part of the dumb show like these fellas are, then please do so by calling 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email podcast at inexplicabledumbshow.com or follow the show on Twitter at inexplicableds, at capital I, inexplicable, capital D, capital S, at inexplicableds. Follow all the latest comings and goings and whatnots for the Inexplicable Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. So, next week again, we're going to talk with Jason Michaels, magician, illusionist, con man, motivational speaker. So until next week, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.